Did you ever have a beer with somebody or an alcoholic beverage? You know, you just, someone that you didn't really like that much, you know, you kind of was put off by this person. You're like, ugh, I wouldn't even go near this person. And then for some reason, you're at a reception or a cocktail thing or in a bar or something, and you see the guy in the bar or the woman in the bar, and you say, hey, let's have a drink. And you have a drink, and all of a sudden, you're getting along. The alcohol makes you feel a little fuzzy, and you're getting along all of a sudden. And you find that you have things in common, and you're sharing a few laughs and that kind of thing. Not that they become your close friend, but that wall that was between you suddenly crumbles, and now there's this nice, comfortable thing going on. You're not really fond of the other person, but they're not so bad. You say to yourself, that person's not so bad, really. And then you sober up the next day, and you still say to yourself, you know, I talk to the person, and they're not so bad. They're not so bad, really. You know, we can get along. You know, we can have a little drink every once in a while and have some laughs, and we can get along. We have things in common, we found. Well, let's transpose this to North Korea. And let's say that Donald Trump, a bad example of a human being, but let's say Donald Trump goes to North Korea, or, you know, is standing at the border, you know, like picking up seashells or something, and Kim Jong-un comes walking by, and Kim, Don, hey, you want to go have a beer? Sure, let's have a beer. There's a big age difference, but let's have a beer. Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un sit down, and they're having a drink together, and they're laughing, and they're having a good time, and, you know, I really think that a lot of those discrepancies would go away. And the two people, any two people, would say to themselves, you know, there's a lot of tension between us, but, you know, I get it. Let's see if we can work things out. Oh, okay, Kim. Oh, all right, Don. Hey, you want to go to a Nets game on Thursday? Sure, that sounds great. Hey, you know, you're not so bad after all. I mean, I still think you're a despicable person. They're both saying that to each other. But you know what? You know, we kind of get it. We're both, you know what I'm saying? Wouldn't that work? I think it would. Oh my God, I think it would.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
On second thought, maybe it wouldn't work.
Whatever.
But it could. It could work. Nah, maybe not. But you never know. They're both crazy, so who knows? They have that in common, at least. They're both crazy. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's a Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. Yes, I am. We've got an incredible interview coming up later in the show. This is going to be so fantastic. We're going to talk, do you know the Twinings Tea Company? They've been around for hundreds of years. They are the ultimate tea company of the world. Started in the United Kingdom, generations and generations have taken over the business in the same family. We're going to speak to Stephen Twinings, the actual guy who owns the whole company. and he's going to open our eyes to tea. And you're saying, Ron, what? Yeah, but Stephen Twining's, man, that's a big name in the tea world. We're going to talk to him later on in the show. Mano a mano. That'd be pretty cool, I think. I'm looking forward to it. I'd love to dip my bag. Hey, come on. Let's keep this show plausible between two people. Come on now. How are you, by the way? You doing all right today? I'm going to sound like I really care, but you know, in actuality, I don't. Well, man. Here's something disgusting. Please don't judge me. It was Veterans Day not long ago, and everybody went around saying thank you for your service. And that's true. I mean, it's something that I greatly admire. No matter what the circumstance, that's an admirable thing to do. It is. So thank you for your service. And, you know, but that's become such a common line that I think that when you say thank you to your service to somebody, it's just like, hi, how are you? To a service person, it's not, you know, you should go beyond just saying thank you for your service and walking away. And then I'm thinking, ooh, wait a minute. Here would be something funny that I could say. I'm always thinking of something funny I could say in order to disrupt everybody around me. What if I were a gynecologist? Let's start there. What if I were a gynecologist and a woman came in and I did an examination on her and then I looked at her and I said, thank you for your cervix. She'd slap me, but it would be funny. Am I willing to get slapped in order to make a funny line? Sure. Sure, because that's what I do. I get slapped to make a funny line. That's what we do. And I think that's really admirable on my part. Well, what's the matter? Oh, come on. You kind of died out there, didn't you? I don't know. I always go for the funny. I'm sorry. It's just the way I was brought up. My parents weren't funny. My parents were not funny at all. But so I thought I had to make up for that somehow. So I've endeavored to be funny through my life, and it usually doesn't work. But the endeavorment is there. That's not a word, by the way. Do you ever meet somebody who thinks they're funny? And then when they say something that they think was humorous, they actually laugh at something that they said. And everybody that the person said the joke to didn't laugh, but the guy who said it is the only one laughing. That's embarrassing. But the people that do that don't realize how much of a schmuck they sound like when they do that. Here's an example.
Hey, Bob, I got a funny joke for you. Why did the chicken cross the road? To get to the other side. To get to the other side.
And Bob isn't laughing. Bob's just going, that's humorous. That's very humorous, Jim. But Bob's going crazy. Jim's going crazy. Did he get to the other side? I got another one for you.
I know people like this. They say something that they think is humorous, and they laugh at what they said. And then you're embarrassed. You go, well, should I laugh? Well, no, that's not honest. Should I not laugh? Well, this is all very awkward. Let me get away from this person that thinks they're humorous. It's embarrassing. So many things are embarrassing. So many people aren't aware of themselves. Have you noticed that? They go through life totally unaware of themselves. They look horrible. They're unkempt. There's holes in their clothes. There's snot hanging out of their nostrils. They have no idea. They're in some kind of a disillusionment world where they exist, but they can't see themselves.
It's like that movie, I See Stupid People. Oh, that was Dead People. It's the same thing, same concept. Some people don't understand. These are the people that laugh at the things that they said themselves. They're also the people that talk to themselves. Do you know people that talk to themselves? I see them in supermarkets. I saw one yesterday. There was a lady, and she was perfectly fine. She wasn't schlubby. She wasn't insane. She wasn't crazy. She was perfectly well-dressed like a businesswoman, and she was walking down the aisle of the Market Basket Supermarkets, which is a supermarket that's near me. And we're in the cereal aisle, and she's walking up and down the aisle, and she's saying in a very normal conversational voice. She's not saying it in a muttering, but she's saying it quite loud. She's saying, "That's too much sugar. No, that's too much sugar. Where are the flake things? Where is a Special K?" And I'm looking around. There's no one standing next to her. Who's she talking to? She's talking to herself. And she's saying it in a very conversational voice. I wondered at a point, is she talking to me? Am I supposed to join in and give my commentary on how much sugar there is in that particular box that she's holding? No, she's not talking to me. She wasn't even that close to me. She was a good 10 feet away. She wasn't looking at me. She's talking to herself. A perfectly sane person talking to herself. Then I thought, okay, she's on her cell phone. She's got one of those implanted things in her ears. She's got one of those wireless Bluetooth things. Why is it blue, by the way? Why does that tooth have to be blue? Why can't it be a black tooth or a red tooth or a purple tooth? What's that? What's that about? Now it sounds like I'm talking to myself. So I thought, well, she's got that device in her ear and she's talking to her neighbor or something back home and they're talking about sugar. But no, there's no device in her ear. No, no. She's just talking to herself. It's like people that repeat questions like they're still in second grade. And the teacher says, in order to process a thought, repeat the question to yourself and then come up with an answer. Some people never stop doing that. It's like you say to them, what did you have yesterday for dinner? And she'll say, what did I have yesterday for dinner? Let's see. What did I have yesterday? Stop repeating it. Just answer the damn question. If you don't know, say I don't know. Are you stalling for time when you repeat it? Is that what you're doing? Don't repeat the question. Don't do that. That's annoying. Why do you do that? Let me see. Why do I do that? Let me think. Oh, shut up. I don't want to hear your entire thought process. This isn't therapy. This is a simple question. I was just doing it for small talk. You've turned this into a catharsis of some sort. The worst thing that I cannot tolerate, although I have to, because I try to be human as much as I can. It's when I do these interviews on this radio program. I do thousands of them. Literally, over the decades, I've interviewed more people than you've blown your nose. I guarantee you. I ask them a question. They answer the question in the interview. Like, can I, you know, if you have a flu shot, does that introduce the flu into your system? Are they injecting flu into you? And the doctor says, no, that's not true. We're not introducing the flu into you. No, it's not true. Well, doctor, can you, people think that they can get sick from getting a flu shot. Well, Ron, as I just said, you demeaned me. That's what they do. Sometimes they'll say, instead of that, they'll be a little bit more gentrified about it, countrified, but they're still saying the same thing. Well, doctor, tell me, can you get sick from the flu? Well, again, don't start your sentence with well again. You're putting me down. Like you're saying, well, if you were listening, Ron, if you were paying attention to what I said, don't do that to me. That feels bad. That's no way to have a conversation with somebody. Don't start a sentence. Well, again, as I just said, you schmuck, if you were listening, you low-life piece of scum, you question-rattling donut, if you were listening, as I just said, well, I can't handle people like that. I really want to hang up and end the interview right there when that happens, but I can't tolerate that. Bothers me greatly. Yeah, I was listening. I was listening. There's no reason for you to come back at me like that. That's not the way this is supposed to work. I don't know how it's supposed to work, but this isn't the way, I guarantee you. It's not working out for either of us. So the interview is over. Have a nice day. And don't come back again. And I really didn't care what you were saying. You're absolutely right. I wasn't listening. I really don't care. You're absolutely right.
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? It's simple. No pants. Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
Oh boy. Hey, you're listening to the show. Did you know that? Yeah. Would you think you were brushing your teeth? No, you're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. There's a difference. When you listen to this show, your teeth are no cleaner. Believe me. I do this every single weekday. Mm-hmm. I know. it's Monday through Friday, for those of you who may not be familiar with weekdays. Unless it's a holiday, then I don't. And there you have it. You can hear me on this thing, NewEnglandBroadcasting.com. NewEnglandTalkRadio.com. SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, the Podbean Network, your Amazon Alexa, all those things. Although, if you say to your Amazon Alexa, if you say, Alexa, play the Ron Van Dam Show, Alexa will usually say, what, are you serious? Are you kidding? Don't you have something better to do, you low-life piece of scum? Come on, get with the program, you stupid person. I can be visited, by the way. I can be visited. I do have visiting hours. New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. That's on Facebook, by the way. There's no reason to go there. There's nothing happening, but you can go there if you wish. I still have to work on that thing, and I don't have time, nor the want, nor the need, nor the desire. But it's there. I paid money for it, oddly enough. That was a mistake. Or you can email me if you'd like to be a guest on the program. Maybe you've written a book or you've done something interesting or some word you want to get out that's fairly appetizing. We can set up an interview, or perhaps you do a podcast yourself, do you? And you'd like to be a part of New England Broadcasting and be featured on our podcast network. Well, that's not going to happen, but it could. It could. RonVanDamShow@gmail.com. RonVanDamShow@gmail.com. Okay, that's enough. There are many people besides myself behind the scenes, you know, kind of. Jason Shaw, that's the music that you're listening to. He's composed many of the musical deals here on this program. John Shanahan, he does the comedy commercials. He's our announcer. He's brilliant. And thank God he's with me. My God. And then all kinds of people behind the scenes, and I really don't want to talk about them. I got one of the strangest phone calls ever, ever, yesterday. It was a robocall. This is how I've been demeaned in life, how I continue to be demeaned. Human beings don't call me anymore. robots do. Apparently, I'm very attractive to robots. Perhaps someday I shall have a sexual affair with one and not even realize it. Ron, you are so sexy. Please put your hand right here where the X is indicated and go to town on me. Ooh, baby, that was fantastic. Do it again. Please do it again. Your name here, Ron.
Could happen. Could happen. Depending where that X is, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, I'm getting phone calls from robots. It's come to that. It's come to that in my life. I'm getting calls from machines, personal calls from machines. Here's what the machine said, the robocall said to me yesterday. It said, "Congratulations, Ron. You've been approved for a $250,000 loan for you guys." The robot referred to me and my company as "you guys." Robots are getting hip, man. They're getting with it, man. Yeah, I've been approved for a $250,000 loan. First of all, how's that possible? Because that's not possible. And secondly, I didn't ask for a $250,000 loan. Is the inference here that you mentioning that I can get $250,000 with a click of the fingers, that I've been approved for that already, by the way, that now I shall call for my check? Because I'm old enough and mature enough to realize if I'm taking out a $250,000 loan, I'm going to have to pay that back with a huge amount of interest. So it's not a free $250,000. Did you think I was that stupid to call you and say, "Yes, send me the $250,000 check. Bye." I mean, what? And by the way, I have a company and I am not to be referred to as "you guys." When we're talking $250,000 transaction, I don't want to be referred to as "you guys." I would like "sir" or "ma'am" or "mister" or something like that, not "you guys." Where did this "you guys" thing come from? Women use it all the time. I will see a woman walk up to other women and say, "Hey guys, how you doing? Do you need glasses or something?" Guys, they are not guys. They are females. Perhaps they're gals, or whatever word we want to use that refers to the female persuasion. But they are not guys. They don't have facial hair. Well, maybe they don't. They're not guys. When I was growing up, a guy was a male entity. And a female, I guess, was a gal. I don't know. Gal isn't used at all anymore, but guy sure is. We've become very unisexual. Have you noticed that? We're all guys. Whether you're a male, a female, a dog, transvestite, a transimpient, no matter what you are, a lesbian, whatever. You're a guy. Hey, you guys. Hey, how are all you guys? Hey, you guys. You know where I think this came from? I think it came from the South, and they have an annoying reference in the South. Everybody is, "Hey, how you all doing? You all fine? You all want some pie? You all going to go to the church tomorrow? You all going? You all going to be there? How you all doing? Where? Can you talk to me personally, please? How about, how are you doing? Are you going to the church tomorrow?" Because when they say to me, "you all," there's nobody else with me. I'm alone. If I'm standing there alone, how can you address me as "you all"? What? That's a plural thing.
I mean, how indifferent can you be? That's like a woman saying to a man, I love you all. You all, I love you all. It's just me. What are you talking about? What do you mean you all? What are you, what is this, group sex or something? You all going down the store? If you all going down the store, can you all pick me up some? What do you mean you all? I'm here. I'm the only one here. I'm the one going to the store. I'm not a you all. Are you mixing me up with a U-Haul trailer or something? Or a U-Haul truck? Stop with your U-Haul. Nobody seems to understand anymore. I know who does understand, and that's Mr. Twinings. I respect this man. He is everything in tea that I've wanted to be. And we're going to learn about tea right now. Here we go.
Hello, Ron.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yourself?
Great, thank you very much. Stephen with the last name of the biggest tea company in the world. Good to talk to you.
It's a great pleasure to talk to you, too. How are things up with you today?
They're very, very good. I'm anxious to talk about tea from the man himself. I understand you actually drink 9 cups of tea a day. Is that true?
That's kind of the minimum requirement, yeah.
The minimum requirement?
Yeah. Anything less than that's a wasted opportunity.
My Lord. Are you up all night from the caffeine, or I don't know?
No, because a lot of the teas, the herbal teas, are all naturally caffeine-free. So I choose...
Oh, really?
I start with strong tea in the morning, and then I sort of graduate down, and by the evening I'm onto the buttermints, which is a peppermint-based drink with beautiful vanilla on top, so it feels quite indulgent, but it's very low in calories, and obviously naturally caffeine-free, so you can go to bed. Go
wow.
To
yeah. It's wonderful. I don't even know if I'm brewing tea the right way. I have no idea. I take the tea bag and I put it in the water and then I wait a few minutes and I drink it, but I don't know. Is that right?
You fundamentally, yes. The two vital ingredients are the water right. Quality. So I empty my water boiler each time I've used it because it's the dissolved oxygen, which you get most of in fresh cold water out of the tap, that gets the flavor off the tea. So it's absolutely critical. Oh. Reheated water has less and less of that.
Oh.
The temperature of the water is also critical for the herbal infusions, herbal teas, for black teas. Just as it gets to boiling point, you would add your water on. I'm going to do it now because I'm
right.
In need of a cuppa.
Right.
And then... You need to be patient. So you said you're waiting about 2 or 3 minutes.
Yes.
That's pretty good. That's better than a lot of people.
Oh.
Because the tea bags obviously come with strings on it. It's very tempting to give it a bit of a jiggle.
Yes.
Wash the color off and trick yourself into thinking it's ready when actually it's not. So with herbal teas, it takes 4 minutes. With regular black teas, 3 minutes is good. But give it that time to give its flavor off so that when you get to drink it, you get the full flavor. Some people then tell me, oh, well, it's a little bit too strong for me, but you can always add a little bit more water because it's the ratio of tea to water that determines the intensity of the strength. But it sounds like you're doing a good job.
All right. Is it proper to dip in order to... Because psychologically, you figure if you play with the bag and you move it around that more of the tea will infuse. Does that make a difference? Is that good or bad?
While it's infusing, it's not doing anything. It's not speeding the process.
Okay.
I always tell people if you need to do exercise, go to the gym because that's all you're really doing. You're waving your arm about. certainly, if you haven't got a teaspoon, the heavy flavor is going to sit down the bottom. So as you take it out, you can give it a bit of a jiggle just to stir it up because you want the flavor to be uniform throughout. But yeah, otherwise, yeah.
Okay.
Just let it be.
All right. Okay. Now, what about the preference of teas in a ball as opposed to teas on bags on a string?
Yeah, it's horses for courses. It's the way you like to do it.
Right.
Some people like to put it into those infusibles. Mm-hmm. My tip there is never to put too much tea into the ball because obviously when the leaves get wet, they swell up, they push out against the side.
Oh.
If there's too much tea in there, they actually don't let any water penetrate. So that can be a bad thing. But yeah, no, how you choose whether you use a loose leaf tea or already in the bag, very much down to the individual.
Well, now you travel the world, I understand, in order to find the finest teas and the most interesting teas.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about the selection of great quality ingredients. And at Twinings, we then blend them together to get that consistency of taste. So, for instance, in our Lemon Delight herbal tea, there's obviously natural lemon in there, but we've got lemon verbena, we've got lemon peel. And these are coming from places like Paraguay or might be coming from Senegal. And it's all about when's the best part of the season to select those lemons to get that flavor that we've established in the Lemon Delight. Where are the cherries and the blueberries coming from? I mean, we buy peppermint from up here in North America, add the Egyptian vanilla to that to give it the buttermint that beautiful creamy coating. So yeah, all about the selection of great quality ingredients.
Okay. You've been doing this forever, I mean, as well as traveling the world in this sense. I mean, I understand you've been involved since you were a child?
Well, yes. I gave my first lecture to some classmates at school at the age of eight, because we were doing the geography master. We decided he was going to teach us all about India. The British can't talk about India without talking about tea, and then he knew that Dad was in the tea business, so Dad sent some tea samples, and we had a tea tasting, and he got me to explain all the different teas to my classmates. So yeah, that's kind of when I started.
Yeah, and this goes back generations and generations in the family, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yes. So the easiest way to describe me is as the 10th generation. So Thomas Twining started the business back in 1706 and opened the world's first dry tea and coffee shop 300 years ago this year, which, yes, it's great. But it's hopefully a living tradition.
So you have actually been infused as well as the tea.
I think I'm well steeped, yes.
Yes, you're very well steeped. Now, I know you're not a doctor in the medical sense, but are teas indeed, do they actually have medicinal qualities? And again, I understand you're not a doctor, but is this a healthy situation?
Well, because of the different varieties of tea, black teas and green teas have some caffeine in. The herbal teas, like the buttermint, the berry fusion, are naturally caffeine-free. And yeah, if you're putting in great ingredients, I'm sure there is some health benefits. You're quite right, I don't make medical claims.
Right.
But what works for me in the evening, if I need relaxation, then I know the chamomile is going to help calm me down. If I've had a nice dinner, mint, peppermint in particular, aids our digestion.
Right.
And so, yeah, sure, there are definitely some benefits to be had. But most important thing to me is drink something because you enjoy the taste. So I talk about enjoyable health because, yeah, I'm sure they're going to do you some good, but enjoy it. It's a wonderful, relaxing moment.
Yeah.
Take time off the world, refresh yourself with these beautiful flavors,
See, in my mind, the two most civilized things that you can put in your body are tea and a sherry, let's say.
Yes. Right. Indeed. Well, man and ladies do not live on tea alone. I understand this. Yeah. And there are great similarities between tea and wine because obviously they're agroclimatic crops. And yes, one should study all of them.
All of them. Study and consume. Are there any exciting new flavors or ideas that are in the works?
Yeah, well, I mean, the buttermint is which I've been talking about, because I absolutely love it. I wish I could make you a cup of it.
I wish you could.
It is just beautiful peppermint with that beautiful creamy texture of the vanilla on top, and that is absolutely sensational. So yes, but yeah, go to the Twinings website. We have one dedicated to North America. It's TwiningsUSA.com, and you can read about all the wonderful flavors that we've got out there, some of which might have been around for years, but you've never noticed them before, and you might want be inspired to go out and try it.
Well, that's the point, because most of us go to the supermarket in order to pick up our teas. In this country, we do that. And Twinings, of course, the premium, but not every flavor or concoction is available in the supermarket. There's a selection. But by going to the website, it's all there, apparently.
Absolutely. Lots of information, the history, how we do the blending, wonderful policy we call Source with Care, which is all about the ethics that we apply to the tea trade. And most importantly, all these fabulous different blends of tea.
Okay. Well, I'm excited. And of course, the website is
TwiningsUSA.com.
Okay. Are you based in the United States or in Great Britain? Where are you?
I'm very lucky. I get to come across the pond quite regularly, but I'm actually based back in the UK, often to be found in our little shop up in London, but our headquarters is down closer to Stonehenge, a little outside London.
Oh, it is. Oh, wow. Stonehenge still open to the public, or is it completely cordoned off now?
I would say it's open to the public, but there's a perimeter around the stone.
So you can't go. Yeah, when I was there, you were able to walk around, and I understand now you can't, so I'm glad I was able to do that. Okay.
Yes.
Well, there's nothing like a cup of tea, and Stonehenge, you can visit and have a cup of tea.
You can.
Yes. This has been wonderful. I've first of all, I am a great admirer of yours. I appreciate what you do for the business and the comfort that you bring to a lot of people. Thank you so much for your time today, Stephen.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
My pleasure.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Charming. It's very charming. He's charming. He said one phrase that just was so interesting and comforting. He said, "You'll usually find me at our little shop in London." The little shop in London. That paints such a picture immediately in my mind. I'm at the little shop in London. God, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I had peppermint tea last night. The Twinings people sent me some nice tea. And I had peppermint, and it was just lovely. It warmed the cockles of my body. The cockles and everything else. It was very, very nice. Very civilized, you know, just very. Tea does have a very calming effect for me. And it's not just the fact of the tea itself, but it's the fact that I feel more sophisticated when I'm sipping on tea in my little shop in London. I'll be back again tomorrow with another show. Until then, I wish you peace.